Blog Talk Radio.
While he plays. This is Glenn Greenwich coming to you live and in color. I do mean in color. And we're just up in New Hampshire enjoying the weather. Got some weather up in here. It's cold. But it's all good. It's all good. You know, it's one thing about it's cold, but it's a beautiful place. Anyway, my name is Glenn Greenwich. We're going to have an interesting show for you tonight, a very interesting show. We're going to have a conversation with a woman who's a health minister, so she's going to talk about taking care of things in terms of your health and your body and so forth. And then let me start off with the Declaration. The Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991, February 17th, 2013. North, south, east, west, a moment of silence, please. Thank you. Hey, Henrietta, how you doing?
Hey, Glenn. I'm doing well tonight. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing very well, my dear.
Yeah.
Listen, as I said.
Say it again.
I said nobody's. I won't complain because nobody's listening anyway.
Okay. Okay.
Let me read the purpose of the International Black Summit, which is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. And that's the purpose of the International. Some of the discussions that we're going to be having tonight as we look into it. And since we went there, let's go with the question. So what's the question for 2012 to for 2013? And y'all need to stay with me on this one because this is a three-parter, and this one is, I promise if you do the work with this, your life will be altered. What is available when I notice my trigger? First part, be with what is. Second part, be with what is. And then the third part is trust, and trust that it provides me access to my vision field. So let me go back over that. So the first part is when I notice my trigger. Second part, be with what is. And the third part is trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled. So that's the conversation we're going to be working on. We're going to be living in, engaging in, and having some conversation about. We're going to be having some events coming up. So check the website, www.blacksummit.org, and we're going to have some information around some events happening in the Mid-Atlantic. So Mid-Atlantic is the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area. And so they've got some things planned that they're going to be doing coming up. So coming up in March 16th, they're going to be having a youth summit share. So if you're in that area, please look us up, take a look, find out what's happening there. And Mongaza would be the person to contact out of the Baltimore area to find out some more information. Henrietta, what's the weather like in Chi-Town? Henrietta, you're on mute. Let me check the chat room, see who's in the chat room. Oh, that's what was going on. Got a little problem going on. We're good, though. We're really good. Enjoying this February. Hope everybody had a nice Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day just passed. And we also have an event some of you may be interested in. We have a youth event that's happening in Ottawa, Canada. Now, of course, this year we're actually going to Ottawa for the annual event. But there's a youth event that's occurring in Ottawa next weekend. And some of the folks up in Ottawa, a part of the summit, are having a youth event. So that's going to be happening this weekend. Anything you want to add, Henrietta?
Well, let's see. Just for people to make sure that you check blacksummit.org. So if there's a prerequisite or a youth event or any other summit event in your area, you will know about it. And not to forget to email us. You can email us at blacksummit.org or, you know, go on that website and contact the talk show. Talk show at blacksummit.org, and let us know that you're interested in having an event in your area. So that's probably it. You know, just make sure, remember, you always hear us talk about the prerequisite. And the prerequisite is a wonderful course that the International Black Summit offers that prepares you for being in the room on Friday, August 3rd. But we ask that you take the prerequisite before August 3rd. You can actually take it August 2nd in Ottawa. But you can take it many, many times throughout from now until August 2nd in different parts of the country or different parts of Canada. You know, so just let us know if you're interested. If you have a group of people that are interested in going to Ottawa, you want to do the prerequisite first, let us know, you know, and we will send a team into your area to do the prerequisite. The cost is $100. Per person for the prerequisite, $100 US. And there's also a youth prerequisite as well. So, you know, like I said, just go to blacksummit.org and let us know what you need. And we are here to assist you. But, you know, make sure you get to Ottawa August 2nd through the 4th. We are unfolding inside of the question, you know, what is available when I notice my trigger, be with what is, and trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled. It's just the technology. And Glenn, I have another distinction for this technology that's in the conversation of the International Black Summit. You know, sure. I say it's a seed growing secretly. It's like a seed that's planted in the ground, and you just plant the seed. And as long as you know you take care of the grounds, and the seed gets the proper nourishment, proper sunlight, proper moisture, you know that seed is going to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the conversation is like of the International Black Summit, is like the prerequisite in these distinctions.
Let me add something to that. And that
okay.
is that that the seed is actually each and every one of us. gets planted and gets with a little nurturing and a little water, a little sunlight, grows. You know, just grows inside the conversation. So that's perfect. Right.
And it just unfolds without our knowing how or when or where or why, what's going to come up that's going to make something happen. But that question, what is available when I notice my trigger? Be with what is and trust that it provides me access. I have to share an example of that. And I don't know, because I really didn't ask permission to share that, so I'll wait.
Go for it.
Well, I have to think, you know, because I have to be responsible for my share.
Yes.
Something occurred, all right, where something was taken from a person. And so, of course, what is available when I notice my trigger? I'm triggered because someone has taken something from me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when I notice it, then I be with what is. Let me be with the fact that this person just took this from me, literally walked up and took it out of my hands. Not my hands. Well, it doesn't matter. And trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled. When we looked at what the vision was that had never been fulfilled, was there ever a feeling of something being taken right out of your hand? And the vision, the unfulfilled vision, was that thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? I know I'm kind of talking in circles.
Yeah, I get a sense of it, but of course I've got some of my own to reference.
Oh, okay. But that's like how it works. Something triggers you.
Say it a different way.
Okay.
They really can get it, like down in their bones.
Okay.
You are something right now. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's say that I had this vision back in the day. And I just, you know, something occurred, life occurred, and I did not fulfill it. 15 years later, someone takes something from me. And I call and I talk to somebody in the summit about what occurred.
Okay.
And I said, they walked up to me and just took it right out of my hand. The person in the summit says, take a look. Because, you know, this is the interaction we do, the permission to interact and whatever, and see if there's something that you feel has ever been taken right out of your hand. And it was the person's vision, the unfulfilled vision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what occurred was this thing. There may have been judgment about not fulfilling that vision. There may have been. And so, but do you see how we got to it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let me do a recap. So if you're out there listening, so let me just underline just what you said, what Henry is pointing to. She talked about her trigger. Trigger being that thing taken out of her hand, and we have we also have another distinction called clearing. Be with what is. So she cleared herself with somebody inside of the summit body, so that she could be with what is.
Mm-hmm.
And in being with what is, she then was able to get in touch with her vision that was her vision fulfilled. So she got present to her vision. What she was up to, and so
mm-hmm.
and so that occurrence has you now stand in a different place than you started out before you looked at that question in that moment. So in that moment, you look at what is available when I notice my trigger, be with what is in trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled. So in going through that process, and here's the thing, we have to do work to get to that
process.
That's something that just, you know, you stumble into or you, no, each of those steps, you know, I talked about three steps. Each of those steps were a different level of looking and processing in terms of her looking for herself, what was available. And inside of doing that work, at the end of that question, she was left differently, altered, a different perspective of what was available in that moment. So I hope you all get that, because that's the richness of the conversation that we're engaging here. And and just like Henrietta just had an insight, you know, their insights happening every minute, popping up in the summit, in the summit. Because that's the space things are occurring in, like popcorn popping. It's like, oh, wow, boom. So we hope what we're trying to do is give you a sense, because all you can do is give you a sense of what it might be like for you as you engage in the conversations, in the commitments, in the actions, and the practices that you actually wanted to have in your life, to move your life forward, move your projects forward. We have another conversation about, you know, the 90-day, but anyway. So anyway, this is some rich conversation that you're having tonight. I hope you can get it, can appreciate where we're looking from and what's available in this work that we do. Henrietta referred to it as technology. It really is that technology that you can break things down and then be left altered, shifted.
You know, did we talk about the vision? I mean, it's not called the vision of but it's the journey of the quest.
No, say some more about that.
Oh, it's like wonderful. It's like if, I don't want to make sure I get this right, but if I set out on a journey, leaving behind everything, being willing to leave behind everything, noticing that on that journey, everyone that I meet is a teacher.
Wow. Okay.
And that I am willing to take some hardcore looks at myself. That the truth will not be withheld from me. And what it means is, it's almost like our question. It's in three parts. If I have to leave behind all that's meaningful. Like I have to be willing. It's almost like scripture says when Jesus was looking for disciples and things. And people will come up to him or whatever. How do I get to the kingdom of heaven? How do I sell all your riches and follow me?
Okay.
And
speak the word now.
Okay, because it's trust. It's based on trust. You know, and it's not based on your trusting some man in the sky, okay? That is not what it's about. It is about your trusting yourself to the degree that you know you are divinely taken care of, to the degree that wherever you go, you will be. You will be well, and you will be taken care of. So you leave behind everything that's meaningful to you, and you set out on this journey, and everybody you meet, you know, is a teacher, or you've heard me say before, Glenn, everything, I always look for the clues. And I believe God gives us clues.
All the
time. You know, I believe we just find and generate all of this and all of that, but we don't pay attention to them. So we set out on this journey. We've left behind every chain we have, every connection, everything. And we set out on this journey. And we are trust. It's a trust thing.
It is.
But we set out on it consciously. Nobody may not even know that we're on a journey. But we know. And we start paying attention. Everybody is a teacher that we meet. So what did I learn here? I ran into this person. What did I learn? Take what I learned, go to the next place, or the next person. Take what I learned to the next place, or person. But I have to be willing to have some real, take a real hardcore look at myself.
Absolutely.
And when I do that, mm-hmm. what the journey of the quest says is that the truth will not be withheld from you.
Oh.
All right? And why? If you look at what it says, you've left behind all of your baggage. You've left mm-hmm. behind all of your, what do you call them? You know, those things you fall on, like God, I can't think of a word, but you leave it all behind you. So you don't have, on this journey, you can't call somebody and have a pity party. You can't call and get direction. You can't, you know, all of that is behind you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the only thing you have is you and your teachers that you haven't even met yet. But you have to be open and willing to learning about yourself in a way you've never learned about yourself before.
Well,
and everybody you meet is a teacher. Everybody that you meet is a teacher. Now, you know that's a part of the summer conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a part of the annual event. Because I can remember last year in Birmingham, just walking, like coming down that staircase in Birmingham, and
mm-hmm.
all of the little things, the little groups that were going on in this corner and over in this corner and in that corner, walk in the registration room and go to this room, and then the youth room was happening over there. And that was all before you got to the room. You went through four or five phases of your life before you got in the room. But
yeah.
It's such a safe space, what we consider a safe space, that we know that once we head out in the direction of the summit annual event, the summit has already begun.
Yes, it has.
It sounds the same to me, you know. But that's the weekend we're conscious of it.
Yes, that yes. Because the summit begins inside that conversation. You know, one of the things that we'll talk about, and we talk about from time to time, is that the summit is a conversation, and
mm-hmm.
it also is an annual event. So right now we're talking about the annual event, but you can enter inside of that conversation at any point in time. Because the conversation is about distinctions, about the things that you're going to use to move your life forward. You know, those are the
yeah.
tools that are being provided inside of this conversation, International Black Summit. That's the technology that Henrietta was talking about. So,
mm-hmm.
and we talked about clearing, and we talked about trigger. You know, all of those are distinctions inside of the toolbox of the International Black Summit. Because what we do is we provide you tools to live your life, to evolve your life, to move your life forward to it. You know, like that seed that gets planted, you give it a little sunshine, a little water, and it grows and blossoms and bears fruit and bears other seed, you know, productive.
Yeah. But the thing about it is that in that parable the seed growing secretly is you don't know how it's doing what it's doing. You just, it just occurs like in the moment, and you mm-hmm. get it. You know, like you just get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why it's so important that you plant the seed. See, that the seed of unpredictable results. But, you know, that seed of nurturing relationships. That seed of altering the conversation of who we are in the media, and the seed of empowering our youth. In all of the days I've been in church, I have never seen children empowered in 3 days like I do at the summit.
Wow. Wow. That's saying something. That's saying a lot. And
I work with the youth. But have you ever seen in 3 days youth turn around like they do on the summit? Completely around.
That's true. That is true. That's very true. They are.
It is amazing.
You know, I'm more often reminded of the Dr. Wayne Dyer.
Mm-hmm.
His quote: "Change the way you look at things, and the things you look at will change."
Right.
And when you begin to look at your life that way, and know that you're at cause in the matter, you can cause things to occur through your intention, through your thoughts, through your speaking. You know, all of those things are the things that you now move things in the direction that you're looking to have them be impacted.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and it's not just. You know, and this is not a new conversation. This is not an old conversation. It's a different conversation. It's the technology of the International Black Summit. Because if you look at the Hickses, and you know, you talk about deliberate creation, you know, some of the things that they talk about inside of that conversation, that it's the same conversation, but a little differently, a little
mm-hmm.
different accent. And we're using access point of distinction to really work.
Right. Right. Gwen, can you take a look to see if there's some 773, if there's a 773 or 312 or 708 number?
No, I do not have one.
Okay.
But we have our other guest that's available on the line.
Oh. Okay, good. I just want to check in to see if the other person was there. But so this is good. This is really, really a good conversation. So let's just take a moment to say this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and you are on the air with Glenn Greenwich out of Queens, New York, and Henrietta Byrd out of Chicago, Illinois. And our guest tonight, you heard from her last week, and she is back with us tonight, and we're very appreciative that she's back again. She has so much information last week that she's coming back to us again in a different kind of way, but she will, you know, we'll hear a lot from her. We'll just move into this segment, Glenn, if it's okay.
Yeah, let's
do
that.
You can do it now, okay? And we'll hear from M. Safiri.
Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. I am great. What about
you? I'm well. How are you, Glenn?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
Good, good. I want to make sure that we don't have background feed on this end. It seems like I hear a little on that in the phone.
Okay, we're actually doing pretty good tonight. So.
Okay. Okay, great conversation I hear going on.
Oh, great, 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 great.
Yeah.
Well, did you hear anything or see anything for yourself inside of that conversation?
Yes, I did. I really did. Henrietta was talking about having a vision snatched from her, and I can identify the in-depth of having that inward feeling that maybe there's a vision I've had in my past that I could have yielded more to, you know. Something that one has to come to terms with themselves in the present of the situation at hand. So I definitely identified what she was saying.
Great. Well, you've got some information for us tonight, and so without further ado, we'd love to hear about your topics for tonight.
Well, good. I was doing some research a while back, and I just happened to run across it, and the topic really is Bible, health, and faith, and I refer back to it every so often. You know, we have these physical checkups, and the doctor sometimes sees things different than we feel, or we feel something different going on that we may need to be attentive to. So I kind of go back into time and looking at the scriptures, and I often refer back to Genesis 1:29, and quoting from the Living Bible, it says, God said, "Behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat." So it kind of brings me back that my Creator has created food for me to eat that is really herbs of the land. And I try to eat all of my herbs and vegetables and fruits and grains to stay healthy and to restore myself. But getting into that, man, according to the Bible, and speaking what the Bible says, first of all, man was designed by his Creator to eat herbs of the land. And an herb is just only a edible vegetation. Brings to my attention that most people don't eat every herb because of its taste. And it's just basically, when we think of our taste, we usually like what's pleasant and good tasting. Unfortunately, we are omitting from God's prescribed dietary foods that may be bitter, but are good to dissolve tumors, cleanses the body, and also relaxes. I know when I do my herbs, I become more relaxed and more attentive. But then again, there's foods we taste that are hot and stimulate the metabolism, metabolic actions of our body, meaning the chemistry of our body. And God has provided that for us. However, as man has pursued food, we are accustomed to sweet, aromatic, easy food to preserve and prepare, which has a rumbling effect on our bodies and in our worlds, that sickness and lack of energy and vitality abounds on the earth today. So it's pretty interesting. I don't know if either one of you want to comment on that. How do you feel about that, Glenn?
I am absolutely in sync with that, because I actually believe that, as you said earlier, that the sources of all healing is really through the herbs. You know, I'm not a big medicine person, and I understand medicine is useful in emergency and so forth, but if you're talking about overall health and long-term health, the herbs and whatnot, really are the thing for me. So I am loving this conversation. Absolutely.
Yes, yes. You know, and also when I think about it, you know, even though Genesis 1:29 gives us our very first dietary law, when God created the Garden of Eden and put Adam in it, it also kind of gives us knowledge all throughout the Bible, particularly in Revelation. In Revelation, it kind of speaks of when John was having his vision from God, and he points out that there was a river of pure water and crystal clear flowing from the throne of God and coursing down to the center of the main street, so to speak. And within that vision, God was revealing to John that on each side of the river grew trees of life bearing 12 crops of fruit, and with fresh fruit there was crops for each month, and the leaves were used for medicine to heal and restore the nations. Now, when I think about this passage of Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2, for clarity, I get clarity that the trees were the center of healing and not a pharmacy. It sounds more like, to me, it was green leafy vegetables, seeds, and possible grains, which, you know, is pretty much what the body requires. So it's pretty much kind of clear cut to me on that that scripture. And when we think about it, when I really think about it, too, resonate in my body. There are many scriptures full of instances where food and herbs were used in the divine order for restoration of health. And health now is pretty much consistent of food, plant food. And when we talk about plant foods, those are the foods that we pull from the ground, sweet potatoes, kale, collard greens, spinach, foods in that matter. In fact, drugs are a disruptive part of the scriptures, throughout the scriptures. And if you take the word pharmacy, which is not part of the plant food, the Greek word for it is pharmakia, which means a sorcerer in the Bible. And it's enchanted with drugs, according to Young's analytical concordance in the Bible. Now, I also ran across some scriptures, too, and maybe, Henrietta, you can help elaborate a little. Revelation 9:21 is kind of stating within our help that making a drug or sorcerer is likened to the sin or murders, even fornication or a thief, you know, to rob the vitality of the body. There's also mentioned in scripture forms of referring to sorcerers or pharmakata as a deception to the nations, you know, giving more drugs than necessary for the healing of a nation. Sorcerer in Revelation 21:18 was referring to unbelievers, the abominable whoremongers, idolaters, and liars. However, it also relates to poisons and drugs related to charms in Revelation 22:15. All of this to me is kind of obvious that mixing drugs in the Bible, biblical times, were not the esteemed practice of raising the question whether drugs have a part in God's plan in maintaining our health for his creation. Certainly, I don't know if you can agree with me or see where natural herbs have no side effects, really no bad effects, or even affects the tools of good health, maintaining good health. Henrietta, what do you think? How does this resonate with you?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Well, you know, this is Glenn. You know, one of the things that I look at and certainly is interesting is that when you look at most of the drugs, I don't exactly know the percentage. It was either 80 or 75 or 80%. I thought it was high. It might have been a little higher. Of the drugs are actually synthesized plants. So when you think about most of the drugs that are being made, 80% are based on a plant background, but of course they are making synthetic things. And so when you think that much of quote unquote medicine is actually formulated from plants, then you would think that why aren't we using plants? Why are we trying to? Because of course it's a lot cheaper. The chemical drugs then are the actual plants themselves. So I mean, you know, there's a cost basis around that. So
it's interesting, and it's also true because every plant was designed to heal us from whatever infirmities that we may have, which also shows that the scriptures show by design good sanitary and dietary practice were utmost important in biblical days. In my studies in reviewing biblical times versus today, biblically speaking, the Hebrew children escaped plenty of plagues and havoc because of disobedience and misusing plant and seeds, you know, being obedience to the preparations of the food and obedience in making sure they ate the food at the right seasons and times. The sanitary principle alone kept many in biblical times as well as our parents' times healthier. One of the major advances I see in our day and time is the United States and in other civilized nations primarily have good sanitation practices rather than the results of drugs. Although, as you said, Glenn, yes, 20% of pharmacy medicine is plant, the other 80% is synthetic, which chemically, metabolically, puts a chain reaction within the body. And also, we want to talk about the faith, okay? What would be some good ingredients for faith? And I want to say, faith without works is dead. We have to have faith of something, a faith that is hope, of things that we can't see, maybe not feel, but the substance of knowing that we hope for that it shall manifest. For without faith, people perish, referring biblically to Paul's admonishing the Philippians to let this mind be in you, which is in the Creator who design us to have long life, you know, and we must keep our minds healthy thoughts. We must stay in a positive, mindful state of mind. So to think on things that are lovely and true, just, honest, and pure, to have a good report. And also, under faith, I would like to quote something from Proverbs 13:12, and it says, hope defers, makes the heart sick. And when we see older generations that's in their 80s and 90s, they tend to be wise men who believe in hope defers, makes the heart sick, which gives them that stability to treat their body as a temple and sacra and sacred, to put the right things in their body, to get the right rest and the exercise. And so in my conclusion, I would like my completeness to be the Bible of health and faith, to leave you with a thought from the Harrington Law of Cure. Man heals from the top down and from the inside out. From the top down certainly means the head or mind, which in conclusion, right belief brings right living. And that makes me complete in the Bible, health, and faith. Are there any questions out there or comments that would like to add to this thought of topic of Bible, health, and faith?
So if you have a question, please press 1 and we'll recognize you and bring you into the conversation. We've got a couple of folks listening. Chat room is kind of quiet. If you'd like to call in and ask any questions or provide any comments, the number is 646-716-9827, so you can call in. We've got a couple lines that are open and available, so please do so. And I had one comment that I wanted to make, and it's interesting. I just heard that probably in the last week or so, actually in the last couple of days, and the comment was that one of the reasons Jewish people were so ostracized is that in the, for example, during the plague, because they separated the preparation of the dairy, they had two different kitchens, so they had one for dairy and one for the meat, and that helped to minimize the effect of plagues in their particular community, which I thought was kind of interesting, and it was pointed to because of their preparation and their cleanliness in terms of the separating of the two kinds of kitchens. So when you said what you said about cleanliness and preparation, that's what I thought about.
Absolutely. And also another culture of people who do a lot of separating and sanitary cleansing is the Amish culture. They do a lot of culturating their food and a lot of cleansing of different types of food. Particularly, they eat nothing that is pork or the foot of the hoof of the animal, so biblically speaking. But they are very sanitized also, along with the Jews, which keeps them pretty healthy in today's society.
Interesting. As we look and we look at health and we look at the how do you apply it and what do you do, there's some basic things around cleanliness that certainly make a difference in our society. The thing that I'm most present to is the kinds of things, the kinds of foods that we eat at our temple. So very powerful, very great.
Background noise?
I'm hearing some background noise. Yeah, I'm hearing a bunch of background noise. So, Henrietta, anything for you?
Yes, that was one word I didn't hear very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
When you were talking about hope and what it does to the heart.
Okay. We're talking. I think I was mentioning on the realm of faith. Without faith, the people perish. Paul's talking to the Philippians to let their minds be in in Christ, which made them, which makes us, because it's still in the present tense for me, to be healthy and to be in the healthy state of mind that he has designed us to be. Hope is the substance of evidence not seen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you said something about hope does something that it does to the heart.
I can't recall right now, but
okay.
If I do, oh, okay. Oh, I got you. It's the saying of the wise men, whoever lived, says, "Hope defers, make the heart sick." It's a scripture in Proverbs. It would be Proverbs 13 and 12. Okay. Hope defers
mm-hmm.
makes the heart sick. Okay.
Okay. Hope
also,
deferred. Is that what you said? Hope deferred.
Deferred.
Okay.
Yes.
Makes
deferred.
The heart sick.
Sick.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Deferred.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Great.
Right. I'm a metaphysician, so I'm always interpreting things and heart.
Okay.
Heart always represents the feeling nature in man or woman.
Yes.
And or the subconscious mind. And, you know, that's where all of your feelings and your everything is stored. And so that's what I was listening for, that interpretation, and how you were relating it to healthy eating or healthy holistic living, I'll say.
Yes. And particularly, if I may interrupt for a second, particularly putting our minds into healthy thoughts and thinking
mm-hmm.
on things that are true, honest, and to receive a good report
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
as a result of hope deferred makes the heart sick. If we do
mm-hmm.
those things, and keep our minds on those things to be in Christ, so to speak, but being positive and recharging regardless to whatever triggers us, that it's a form, it's a mythology of staying healthy is what I really want to get across.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, This is the Lenten season. Ash Wednesday was last week.
Yes. Yes.
Excuse me. One of the things that I practice is eliminating, like Lent.
Mm-hmm.
Let's eliminate negative thinking.
Yes.
That's what Lent means for me. That's the period of time where I eliminate negative thinking. And that's what I fast from during this season. And it's interesting because in those years where I've just been eating whatever, it was much more difficult to eliminate negative thinking than it is this year when I've been eating. You know, I changed the way I've been eating this year. And I haven't had meat or dairy or sugar this year. And it's real interesting because it's a lot easier to catch a negative thought than it is when I'm eating anything. You know, I kind of notice it right away. Like, oh, you said this, or you said a negative, you know, statement or whatever, and I can catch it, you know, I can catch it quicker, and I can do something about it, you know. I don't know if that pertains to what you were talking about or not, but I'm just saying I've noticed that's what's so for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I believe that for me also, in eating sweets or sugar or overindulging in certain types of food brings on hyponess, doesn't mean hypertension, high blood pressure, anything. Hypo meaning the metabolism speeds up, the metabolic system speeds up, and the chemistry in the body activates certain cells to communicate rapid than other times. And that also affects our vision and our views of how we think and the patterns of our thoughts a lot. So I, too, during Lent time or am in a state of more meditating and sitting more in a stillness to be conscientious of what's around my environment or the environment that I'm in.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. You know, this has been informative again. The great part about this conversation is that it's archived, and our listeners can go back and listen to it over and over again and really get the gist of it. You present a lot of information, you know, like even like this week, you've taken it to a different, you know, to a different level, and a level in which a lot of people understand, you know, like when it comes to scripture. And, you know, you offer another way of looking at things. And that's what, you know, that's what we kind of do here at the International Black Summit is just take a look at things and open ourselves up to something unique that someone else is bringing to us, you know. So we appreciate your being with us again this week, and thank you for breaking it down, you know, differently so that we might have a different understanding of the gift that you bring to us.
Thank you very much for having this opportunity to do this. I appreciate it, and it's been a pleasure to share some of this information. And so I'm hoping that others can use it in a way that they will be able to void off and adhere to what their bodies and their spirituality is saying, above all, their knowledge they have already have knowledge of.
Yeah. Very powerful.
Very, that's what I was getting ready to say.
Mm-hmm. Very powerful conversation, and really, you know, we're talking about lifestyles. We're talking about the opportunity to shift your way of being as it relates to your relationship to health care. We've got about just over a minute and a half to go, and Henrietta, anything that you'd like to kind of wrap us up with?
Well, I would like everybody to think about this, you know, just that this is the Lenten season, and it doesn't have to be a religious season. It can just be a season where you make a decision to take some of the recommendations from Insta Theory, you know, look at the question that Glenn and I spoke about earlier, you know, go to blacksummit.org and really take a look at the declaration and see where you find yourself. And why not eliminate negative thinking for the next 37 days? You know, just think what life would be like if you didn't engage in negative thinking. So, you know, that's just a suggestion as something that you might take on, something that will really have you take holistic living to another level, like really to another level. And
well,
that's it for me, Glenn.
That's perfect, because I gave up carbs for Lent, so no pasta, no potatoes, no rice for Lent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what
okay.
I'm. That's my gift to myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that is our show for tonight. We thank you for joining us. God bless you. And tune in next week, same time. And we'll have some more conversations to support healthy living, mind, body, and soul. Peace and blessings. Good night.
Good night.